Welcome, everyone. Thanks for joining us for a follow-up call from the Underground Online Seminar 2. Today, my guest is Len Critcher. Did I say that right?
Len Critcher.
Okay. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
Len is was generous enough to come on and share with us some of his insights on eBay, and I'm very excited to have Len on. Len's one of one of the hardest things to sell on eBay is a high-end product sight unseen over the internet. And Len is someone who does that approximately 100 times a month. And your little company with a tiny fraction of the staff and overheads of a traditional auto dealer sells between $3.5 and $5 million a month on eBay, the last figure you gave me.
That's about correct.
Okay. Adds up to somewhere between $42 to $60 million a year, which is very impressive.
Mm-hmm.
Does it with high-end vehicles only, sold out of an airplane hangar in the Metro Dallas area. And you've quickly moved up the ranks to top used car salesmen or used car sellers on eBay and beyond.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, when I was in the market for an Aston Martin, that's how we kind of met over the internet.
Right.
And unfortunately, you didn't have the right model I was looking for. I did order a new one, by the way, from the factory, and they're 2 months behind. Like, they're probably going to keep stringing me along.
Absolutely.
We'll see what happens. I almost you got this DB9 on your site that I saw the other day, and I almost thought about bidding on it and getting it. So who knows if they come back with another delay, you might have another customer.
You can always do this. You can buy that one today and trade it in a couple months.
That's true. That is.
We'll take it back.
That is true. Actually, something else I found out. I didn't know my buddy John Reese bought a car from you. His BMW. I don't know if you know who John is.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, he bought his BMW 745i, I think, from you.
Yes, I do remember.
Okay.
I got to be honest with you. When you start doing 100 cars a month.
Yeah, I know. The,
you, the names all kind of run together. You do your best to remember everybody, but they all run together. So
yeah.
I have to go to my trusty admin program and type names in, and that's how I remember. Especially when you don't meet somebody.
Yeah, very
you
true.
Know, you know, because you really just... You remember them by name and car. That's
right. When I said BMW 745i, you're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So your company, ecarlink.com, you guys have leaped to the number 9 spot of 2005.
Well, we're number 7 now.
And congratulations.
We bumped up. We're nudging 2 more spaces. And I say that's kind of it's a funny, it's the number 7, I guess, of top pre-owned retailers online in America. But that's kind of a fun number to look at because in reality, I could be being beat by a Honda dealership selling 200 units, you know. So I can promise you if we rank it up in amount of dollars that we move, we're probably pretty high up there. But I think as time goes on, I don't necessarily want to be the biggest. I want to be the best. And I think that's part of this conversation today is to talk about, you know, how do we try to differentiate ourselves on eBay and what makes us who we really are. And I don't think necessarily being the biggest is it in the car business. So.
Yep, very, very good. Yeah, I definitely want to get to that. Well, why don't you start at the beginning and then just give us a quick background on yourself, if you could.
Sure. I graduated. I went to SMU here in Dallas, graduated college from there, and thought I always wanted to be in the entertainment industry. Was directing commercials, actually had won some big awards while I was still in college and hightailed it out to California. Now, at the time, this is around 1996, at the time, the internet, of course, was slowly picking up massive steam. I say slowly, rapidly. It's all around us. And I was really kind of watching all of this stuff happen while I was pursuing my entertainment career. And as all things kind of started to get into place, I started loving the internet more than I was loving film. Saw it as an avenue for me. Decided to come back to Dallas in 99 and start an internet-based company. It was a kind of a fun deal, and it garnered tons of press worldwide. It was called .com Guy. Locked a guy in a house for an entire year and webcast it with 24 cameras, kind of like the Truman Show. But
yeah, I remember that. That was great.
It was a fun deal. I had a good time with that, and that kind of put me into the internet to stay. And I think with that point, that's where I met my business partner, and I had known him, but I kind of saw that together we were watching the future of car buying. I mean, the old way of buying a car before the internet really was you went to dealerships because they broadcast what a great dealership we are. And we joke and we say, when you walked into that dealership, you would say, do you have any black SL500s? And they'd say, no, but we have this green one, and boy, it looks great with your eyes. It's the old joke, you know, because that was what they had to do. You know, you sell what you had.
Right.
And the customer was really, the only way to find that particular item was to really go to their local dealerships and test and see what they had. Imagine how hard it was. You had to go to each dealership, form a relationship with a new salesperson, play games, and it could take you weeks to find the car that you were actually looking for, where the internet reverses that whole deal, where we can market the car specifically and allow you to come in and say, okay, I see that there is a black SL500 in Dallas, Texas, in my price range, with the miles that I'm looking for, then let me find out about this dealership and the human being that I'm going to do business with and who are they and all these other things. So I kind of saw that as the internet. What does the internet do? Well, it communicates. You know, it's two computers sharing information.
Mm-hmm.
I have something. You may not be local. You may be a block away. You may be across the I sell outside of the country now. You may be across in Germany or something. But the point is I can communicate now to a worldwide audience. From, like you said, four, I have four jet hangars at an Addison airport. We've lowered our overhead. We've lowered the amount of dollars that we have to spend. We're not on a street corner. We don't have balloons. I don't have traditional salespeople. And we've moved more product at a modest profit margins, but good ones. But more product with less people, more efficiently, and in return, it's a win-win for everybody. So that was kind of a roundabout way, but no, I just fell in love with the internet, saw a future for this, and we were one of the first really to delve into the internet space for cars.
Yeah, that's pretty exciting. What kind of advice would you give to someone starting off, maybe that wanted to sell high-priced items on eBay or maybe just anywhere, really?
Well, I think first and foremost, I mean, we gotta be honest with ourselves. When you deal up in a high-ticket, you know, price, when a high-priced item, the most important thing is you need to know what you're selling.
Right.
I think a lot of people ask me, why do you choose to sell certain cars over certain cars? I say, well, first and foremost, I need to know my product. And I think you need to become an expert on that product because the more money somebody spends, the more they expect out of you. I think we expect different things from the representative at Neiman Marcus than we do at The Gap. Okay?
Absolutely.
We expect them to know everything about the Zanella pants or the Zegna clothes and all the things, and to really service us better. So I would always suggest that you become an expert for more reasons than one. Number one, your client will demand it. Okay, your communication with that client better be exceptional. All the way down, and we can get into that later, I'm assuming, but all the way down from your presentation to the way you communicate, to the speed of your communication, having email on all the time, and having your cell phone, being available. The client is a discerning client. They want to be able to communicate with you on a much more, I would say, quicker, more efficiently, and they're probably worth a lot of money themselves, so you know, they expect more. So I think first and foremost, know your market and know your product.
Okay. Very good. So then why'd you decide to go after high-end cars as your market?
Well, for me, when we first started, I couldn't justify a guy spending, truthfully, $1,000 to ship a car from here to Los Angeles if it was a Honda Accord for, you know, $6,000.
Mm-hmm.
It came down to that in the beginning, okay? If you're going to spend $30,000, $800 to ship your car, or $1,000 is not as significant as if you're spending under $10,000. And with that said, there are... I think the early adopters, if you remember back to the internet, some of the early adopters were, and what was so great about the internet was the medium, you know, the income was so high, okay, because we looked across the board because you kind of had to have some money to have a personal computer and an internet connection at home or at work and all these things. I think now we're watching the numbers. You'd be better than I am at that, but we're watching the numbers skew. I really wanted to target the business consumer. I wanted to target, I think the guys on the internet are sitting at their office, at their desk. They're generally speaking, the early adopters were more willing to spend high dollar, I think, versus 10. I know that sounds funny, but spending $10,000 on a Honda Accord, you can kind of go anywhere at your local dealership. But if you're looking for that Aston Martin, that DB9, that Mercedes, that whatever, it seems more that I could communicate with a client that was already used to spending money.
Okay, yeah, that seems very logical.
And to be truthful, it was what I enjoyed. Okay, it was what I have a passion for high-end cars, And I knew that, and I think that translates when you speak to me about the car you're about to purchase. It's harder for me to sell a Toyota Corolla or Accord than it is for me, because my personal interests are in line with what I'm selling. And that's back to your original statement about selling high-ticket items. Love what you do.
Yeah.
Okay, because it comes through.
Yeah, it definitely does. And plus, you've been at this since, what'd you say, 90?
I think it's been 2000.
Okay, 2000.
Yeah.
Okay, so you have to really have that passion, would you agree, that to sustain you over the years, especially when things are getting going?
Well, I absolutely agree. You know, I see so many people make the incorrect decision of selling something, you know, just because it seems, you know, they think they can make money. The car business is a very, very difficult industry. You've got to be able to acquire good merchandise and be able to sell it, and you've got to know your markets pretty well. With that said, it can be incredibly fun, but at the same time, it's business, and you can get worn out pretty quick. And you need to love what you do. And but the truth is if you love what you do and you come to work with a good attitude, I think you can do anything. And you know, I run into my share of grumpy people, and it'll wear you out. But you know what? Most people are good.
Right.
And every month that goes by, it keeps me still in the game, I guess. And the other thing, we can talk about this later too, but you know, once you know what you do and learn your space, there's all sorts of avenues to branch out. You know, for us, we're bringing in ancillary revenue in so many different ways, and we can talk about that. But we've become a leader in our space, and that's what's exciting, is becoming a go-to person. You know, if you really dominate in a space, you can different doors open for you, and it keeps it interesting and fun and always changing.
All right, I guess totally off topic, but what car do you drive now, Len?
to be honest with you, I can say it now, because when we started this phone call, the Dallas Cowboys running back was sitting at my desk, Julius Jones, and he just picked up my brand-new S550, the 07 Mercedes S550. I had a sport package that I just had come in. And so what am I driving now? I'm going to have to look at the stable out there
and decide and
see what I can pull, because somebody just yanked my car.
Very good. Okay. Well, let's talk about some specific stuff, especially with high-ticket buyers.
Mm-hmm.
Since you're catering to these high-end people, high-ticket buyers mostly, and you're selling something also that seems, you know, somewhat hard to sell online, how do you cater to them? What do you do differently, since they can't see you face to face?
Well, sure. I think when we started, it was kind of my thing. What I always thought about what the Internet was it was impersonal. Okay, I always, first and foremost, you need to understand what your client's fears and you know, going into buying something, like you said, a high dollar item on eBay. There's already some natural fears to that. People already hate car dealers. Okay?
Right.
They have this. We're up there with lawyers and insurance salesmen and people like that. So there's naturally this kind of unknown and kind of scared, I guess, mentality to the whole process. So my goal from the very get-go is I try to put myself into the listings and ads and in our website as much as I possibly can, because the truth is I have a very good, you know, I believe in myself and I want a good reputation, and I'm willing to stand behind what I sell. I'm not hiding behind a weird username that doesn't associate my name. I plaster my phone numbers. I love the fact that we're bringing in a lot of new technologies like audio feedbacks of me. You know, they can hear me speak before they even call me. But all of these little things help tremendously to calm the person before they call, or even get them to call, I should say. I see a lot of people making very impersonal ads that have no relationship to who they are, where they are. There's no pictures of their building. There's no pictures of their facility, of how long they've been in business. I'm a huge, huge fan of public relations. I showed that when I did .com Guy. We launched a major media play. I love third-party endorsements, okay? Your third-party endorsement is way better than running an ad yourself.
Yeah, absolutely.
You'll see we were in Forbes magazine and all these things. So I work very hard to play those things out, to get them out there. But I try to incorporate an ad that gets a feeling of who I am. And everybody's different. We're a very light, fun, friendly dealership. We don't like playing games. So I try to design my ad to completely go with that. I use all white backgrounds. I do anything I can to not create a dark and sinister environment. So everything you see on my website should be light, airy, fun, and fresh. I always photograph my cars the same to help build identity with the dealership.
Interesting.
So that people can consistently see my cars and know, okay, that if you see a car in a jet hangar in the Dallas area, you can rest assured it's eCarLink. I can't tell you how many customers call me up and say, I always recognize your cars. And so it was very important for me to create a consistent branding, if you will, because if that person doesn't buy from me today, if they continually search on eBay, they'll start to get to know what my pictures look like. And in the back of their head, it creates some sort of brand identity and trustworthiness.
Right, yeah, that's really interesting because you're getting free branding essentially as a byproduct of selling these cars off.
Absolutely.
That's pretty cool. I like that. And then you've intentionally set your listings as white and the complete opposite of what you said of
well, you look at a lot of dealers out there, and it seems like they're using these dark gray and black backgrounds with white lettering and all this stuff. And the truth is, without getting into a whole deal, these are marketing companies that are allowing them to list their cars online, and I think they've got it wrong, okay? Of course, dealers can still sell cars that way, and they continue to, and they will. I just personally try to create a very light and clean feel. The best compliment I can ever have from a customer is that, and I get it often, is your website and your ads are so easy to obtain the information that I'm looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I tell people, it's nice to have flash, it's nice to have all these whiz-bang features and all these great things, but let's be honest with ourselves. The most important thing is communicating your message. And if you cannot communicate your message, all of the bells and whistles and flash all get lost.
Yeah, and you mentioned the audio feedback and, mm-hmm. and the audio. I saw you're using audio testimonials, and also
right.
you got an audio of yourself.
Uh-huh.
When did you start using that, and have you seen that have an effect?
Oh, it's having a great effect. I get dealers all the time, you know, call up and want to figure out how to start doing that. Once again, it's coming over that hurdle. Remember, the Internet is so impersonal. You can put text messages in there all day long about how people can sit there and say, oh, I love Lynn and his car's great, but who is this person?
Mm-hmm.
Are they real? Remember, the Internet is the greatest place for fraud, and customers know that. And because they know that, they sometimes don't believe everything they read. But I can't make up a person's true testimonial and their voice. And there's something really calming about hearing another customer that has been through this exact same procedure, okay, and was also willing to give a testimonial to my dealership. So we started using that. I use a company, and there's several out there, but I formed a relationship with a company called Audio Generator.
Right.
And you can go to audiogenerator.com, and they've been great for us. But what is great about that is I can send my customers an email. And I can say, thank you for your purchase, give them a 1-800 number to call, and they can leave me audio feedback for that. And so I can get that audio feedback, put it into the listings. And I can't tell you how many customers have called and said, you know what, I listened to everything. I went to your website. I watched your video clips. I have done everything and will continue to do everything to help them feel as if they've met me or have been to my dealership. Because the customers that do come to my dealership, we all know that we can service them, and I know that I can make them feel great because we spend money on that, right? When you, back to the Gap reference, when you go into the Gap has spent millions and millions of dollars designing their stores the way they do, right?
Mm-hmm.
To make you get a feeling when you walk in and say, okay, I'm in here and I feel that the Gap is great and the selection is good and the people were friendly. Well, they control that, but online, you can't control that as well. So you have to do everything in your power to let these people know who you are and what your value proposition is and why you're different and why you're going to be the best place for them to buy your car, And you don't get the chance to shout it at them, but you get to do it in several ways. And it's your layout. It's your look. It's your feedback. It's your audio feedback. It's the information on your dealership. It's how you write your ads.
Yeah, talk about some of the copy that you use in your ad. You write that all yourself, I assume?
We do, yeah, we do. I got to be honest, what's great about, the Internet is after you sell so many cars, copy's already in there. You just got to cut and paste and rework it. But
right.
And we've massaged our copy over time. Little things, like we started out, a lot of dealers had this one paragraph. Well, we divided it up to three because we want our people to, keep in mind, people don't want to read a lot.
Mm-hmm.
is, you know, they want the information, they want it pretty quick, but they don't want to sit there and they're, well, they're, I said they don't want to, they may want to, they're not going to. I can't tell you how many emails I still get, and they say, what's the VIN number for the car? Well, it was, you know, listed four places, but or does this car have heated seats? And of course it does, and it was listed, or there's even photographs of the heated seats. So you got to keep that in mind. You got to keep it to a minimum, I guess. But we try to just kind of, you know, put it out there. And I think the one thing that you read about in all of my copy that I write is I try to describe this car as much as I can. I try to give them a little taste of fun because, you know, remember, we want to excite them into buying something. Because I can't get them here and let them hear the engine, let me excite them a little bit. I usually go to Road and Track and copy out a little fun piece of information about the car.
Right.
Paste it into the copy, and then I go back to the normal stuff, and I tell them, call me, call me, call me. Not for every car. See, not every internet person wants to be talking to people, okay? They want to do it to stay online, but in the car business, you still need to communicate. That is not going to go away for some time. People still want to know that there's somebody real behind the curtain, I guess.
By the way, how many transactions would you say, what percentage are handled over the phone versus directly?
Well, I'd say everything starts online, of course.
Uh-huh.
Now, and they're quote unquote completed online because we have our own software system that, you know, lets people do paperwork and everything online, which has sped up our process, and we can talk about that later about you know, using technology to make you more productive. But
okay,
but almost 99% still have some sort of verbal communication. We may go back and forth through email and whatnot and agree to deals, you know, for a while, right? But the end result is usually always, okay, a phone call. For instance, I sold the Bentley, a Continental GT, on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
We went back and forth. The guy loved what we had to say, da-da-da-da. He just called me and said, okay, I just want to at least hear your voice.
Right, make
you
sure
know,
you're real.
And make sure everybody's good before I buy $150, you know, $6,000 car. So and we understand that, you know.
Right.
And that's, again, back to your original, you know, selling, you know, high-dollar items. They require different kind of communication.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know a lot of people that would feel comfortable buying something that can be a subjective purchase because it's not a brand-new car,
mm-hmm.
okay? So they have questions related around that. So because of that, they usually want to call. And it's a lot easier to communicate over phone on certain issues, especially procedural things. Here's how it'll work, this, that,
right.
and the other. So.
Okay, so that doesn't go away.
Correct.
Okay, what do you think some of the biggest mistakes you see a lot of people doing in their eBay listings, and not just car listings, but all
I think. Well, I think number one, I think if anybody is selling anything of substance, now granted, if they're selling a candle, you know,
yeah.
candle holder,
sure.
you know, you don't need to put your phone number in there, it's not worth the phone call, you know, but if you're selling anything of value, having your contact information, I can't tell you how many people screw that up. Make people very aware of who you are, where you are, how they can reach you, okay, in making that very, very apparent. The biggest thing, though, is photography. You know?
Okay, yeah.
When you're dealing in the Internet, communicating your product is paramount. You know, not only the way it looks and whatnot, there's a million places you can go to make your ads look snazzy and things like that. But let's be honest, if you can't photograph your product well, you're dead before you start. Presentation is key. You can learn a lot about a company by their presentation skills. Will they treat you with, you know, if they don't even take the time to photograph the car or product in a favorable light, they're not even going to, you know, it looks like they're not even going to spend the time to service you properly. So at least that's my thought.
Yeah, so if they're not meticulous about their photographs, it probably will reflect on other areas.
Correct.
Or at least that's perception.
At least that's perception. I mean,
yeah.
granted, you know, but you got to keep in mind, I mean, this is your image.
Right.
This is your showroom. This is your dealership. This is your whatever your business is being communicated properly.
Resources for people that want to learn to photograph better for eBay or maybe their e-commerce site?
The truth is, for anybody, I say do your research. Look at the competition. I mean, look at what some people are doing great and what some people are not. I mean, if you're into selling jewelry,
mm-hmm.
okay, you can easily, you know, discern who are the high-dollar sellers out there.
Mm-hmm.
Get on there and watch what they're doing. And then with that said, learn what works for you. I'm a big fan of being an individual, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Flattery is great, but let's be honest, you should have your own value prop and your own way of doing things. But I always say competition. Just look at your competition, because the internet now is so obviously everywhere, and everybody's utilizing it one way or another in their businesses now. That it is a it is definitely your competition is going to be pretty strong. So, whereas when we started, oh my God, we had no competition.
Right.
So it was like if we took a couple of photos in front of a big fancy house with the car, we were already, we were miles ahead of the game. Just having 20 pictures was a big deal back then. But now you're going to see things change. New technologies as they come out with, like for jewelry, you're going to want to see these 360 degree rotating photos, and just keep your eye on the future. Know your space, but always kind of, if you're really, really getting into internet and to marketing on the internet, it's wise to read the internet trades, the publications, look at new technologies, and then decipher for yourself if they make sense for your business. You should always be on the cutting edge, because your customers will demand it, and they're going to want to see that you're moving forward as well. So,
which publications do you read, by the way?
Well, as far as I read, everything.
The car stuff.
Not the car stuff, but I read everything. I'm a big business journal guy.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so I obviously read, and of course I was on the cover, so that makes me a little bit, And of course Forbes magazine, since I was in that as well. So, we read Forbes, but I read a lot of industry pubs and things like that. But I'm a big internet guy. Okay, obviously.
Uh-huh.
I'm always online on the internet. At my office, I've got CNBC on all day. People don't realize that the market is 100%, works with what I do every day. You can honestly watch the market go down and my sales go down.
Interesting.
It's a very interesting thing. People say, well, what sells the best? And I say, oh, God, just tell me what day it is. Who knows? But I feed on information. So a lot of stuff, I'm up on Yahoo, and I'm big into finance and stuff. So I read a lot of financial type stuff.
Got it. Okay. You mentioned competition in every field. You guys become pretty highly competitive area with cars and used cars.
Mm-hmm.
What makes you stand out aside from the stuff?
Well, you got to know your value. Well, you got to know your value prop. I decided a long time ago that we're not selling our cars on price alone. Okay, we know
that's
as a
big deal, by the way.
It is a big deal, and we know for a fact that our cars are nicer than pretty much everybody else's. That's not to say that they don't have an amazing car. Their car could be nicer. Okay,
mm-hmm.
But more often than not, we have some of the best possible product we can buy. It is the nicest, cleanest material we can buy. And because of that, you're not going to get me to try to sell my car for the car out of Miami, Florida, or New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? When more often than not, that car came from an auction, could be paintwork all over it. It is not the same caliber car as the one I'm selling. If it is, it should be selling for more. I tell people in my industry that in the car business, there's no trick to this. On the internet, we can't make $5,000, $10,000, $20,000 on a car. It's not going to happen. It's too competitive. We can do volume, make less, and still make a good profit, okay? But with that said, if a car is selling in another market in Florida, wherever it is, for significantly less than what we're selling our car for, and if it's apples to apples, something's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are not, and that's the other thing I want to say, know your value proposition. Mine is very simple. We do not buy our cars at the auctions. We do not carry junk. We carry very fine automobiles, and we don't carry just one of them, okay? So if you're shopping by price, I'm going to be a great price. I know that, but I'm not the cheapest.
And would you agree that you never want to be the cheapest?
I don't think you would, not in a high-dollar item. Let's be honest. There is, I think a jeweler told me this a long time ago. He goes, look, I had a jewelry store in the mall right down the street from Tiffany. And the God's honest truth is I bought a piece of jewelry from Tiffany, from their wholesale department, and had it in my shop. They still had another piece of jewelry over at Tiffany. And a lady came in with her husband, saw mine for $10,000 less. It was an exorbitant amount, right? $10,000 less at his shop. And it was like $10,000 more at Tiffany. The wife made the husband buy it from Tiffany because it had the blue box. Okay. So take that to heart. Be efficient and low price, but don't be the cheapest.
Mm-hmm.
People still want to feel good about where they bought their car, and just because it's the cheapest, you may lose some customers because of price, but I will promise you, in return, as long as you're providing a quality product, you will far win in the long run.
Yeah, and the and mostly, as I found, and you probably have more experience in this than I do, but I found that the people that are low ballers and only want to buy them at price are the biggest pains in the butts.
Oh, absolutely. You know what? There's an old saying in the car business: the guy you made no money on is the biggest pain in the ass, and the guy that you absolutely just took home a $10,000 payday is the happiest customer on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why, but it always works out that way.
Yeah, yeah.
You'll bend over backwards and literally make no money on a sale, and that will be your worst nightmare.
Right, right.
So make some money. Earn your money.
Exactly. Yeah, and it all affects your position. It affects mm-hmm. the psychological treatment that people give you. There's a lot of good reasons for being in the premium price range.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about, and I'm definitely writing down some of these things that you've been talking about that we're gonna catch in a little bit, like branching out and the PR and different things, because I know there's lots of other things to cover. But talk about the strategy of using Buy It Now or any of the other new eBay development.
Well, I think for us, and I'll tell you for me, every business on eBay is a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the deal. In the car business, let's just use a round number. If I buy a car for $50,000, let's say I'm trying to get 53.8 or 52.8 or something in there.
Mm-hmm.
There's not enough playroom in the price that somebody's going to win the car, okay? My opinion is people buy cars. They don't need to be winning them in an auction, okay? And at the end of the day, they're going to play a 10-day game to potentially save what? Our room of negotiation usually is $1,000 to $2,000 max.
Mm-hmm.
So why do we want to waste everybody's time? I choose as my value prop to show that I'm as honest as can be. I put the reserve the same as the Buy It Now price. And the reason I do that is I don't want to hold a car very long. So if the customer knows offhand that I'm not going to negotiate very much,
mm-hmm.
then they're more inclined to go ahead and act now. If they think that there's a lot of negotiation room, they may play that whole thing out for 10 days and want to see where the bids end up. To think that I'm nervous or maybe I'm feeling I need to get rid of the car, can't tell you how many customers will call and say, well, it didn't go at auction. I'm like, that's normal. They don't all sell. Like, God, I wish I sold a car every 10 days, every few days, each car. But some cars just last around longer than others. But there's a new feature on eBay that you can look at that I'm going to start using. It's called there's a Buy It Now or Best Offer. It avoids the goofy bids, okay? If you're selling a $50,000 diamond ring and you paid $50,000 for it and you're selling it for $55,000, are you going to take $45,000 for it? No, come on. Okay, so let's kind of knock the silliness out. And that's why I do the Buy It Nows. Anybody looking at a Ferrari or something like that knows you can't buy it for $50,000
right.
if it's a $120,000 car.
Unless there's something majorly wrong with it.
Which, if it was, as my daddy told me a long time ago, if it's too good to be true, it is.
Yeah.
Something's wrong. But
now, how does the best offer deal work?
The best offer is kind of neat. You can actually you can set an autoresponder, I guess, that says if they offered you, let's use that $50,000 price tag.
Mm-hmm.
If they offer you, and the lowest you'll take is 50, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if they offer you 45, it'll send them a write back and just say your offer has been rejected. But it does allow them to send you a $51,000 offer, and you can consider it.
Mm-hmm.
It's better than a bid. It's more like a direct offer. It kind of opens up the communication for direct buying, which at the end of the day, we want to sell things, So bids mean nothing to me, and they never have. I mean, bids are just bids. I want buyers. And in the high ticket, big priced items, I want somebody to communicate with me about how do I buy this car, not how do I bid. And that's just me.
Do you do anything with the people who communicate but don't end up buying a car? Is there any follow-ups?
Well, I keep I allow a lot of people, if a car sells or whatnot, I have an automated system that we built into our and again, it's all about how do you communicate with these people. Obviously with spam, the canned spam acts and stuff, I don't just start blasting people just because they emailed me once.
Right.
I follow more of a double opt-in deal. And I want them to go on my website and register to be notified about certain cars. That's great for me because if I get a car in stock,
how specific is it? Just by model?
Make, model, year range.
Oh well, okay.
I don't get into paint color because that would just get silly.
Yeah.
But if somebody says I'm looking for an Aston Martin, like if you were, if you're looking for an Aston Martin, you can put in the year range, and every time I get one, you'll get an email. That's great because I have over 3,000 people in my database alone that are continually wanting to get emails. And they can remove themselves from the list and update it and things like that.
Right. That's very smart.
Yeah, absolutely. Because the truth is, there's no way humanly possible that I could keep track of it. People call me and say, hey, let me know if you get an Aston Martin. You could tell me yourself. Obviously,
right.
I know you and you'd think I would remember. But the truth is, dealing with as many customers as we deal in, we have to rely on technology to remember us, I guess.
Yeah, and you were saying that you use technology and how it's freed you up and how it's made you more productive and more profits. Can you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yes. What we've done, when we started, there was really no competition, or I say competition, there's really no companies available to do what we needed to do, which were when you list mass products on eBay, you need some sort of what we call listing tool or inventory management system, because if you were going to list everything independently through eBay, that would waste a lot of time, okay? Especially all the way down to your HTML coding and, you know, the layout formats and all that. So we built our own software about 4 years ago because there was nothing available.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's several things available. But we built a software system that allows me to input all of my information into an inventory manager. It updates my local website. It updates my eBay listings. It allows me to relist, load everything on eBay. It also updates my Auto Trader listings and my Cars.com listings so that everybody's in sync. If a car is sale pending, it kind of lets everybody know across the board, okay? And if it's sold, it removes it from the marketplace. That has been essential. What I've done is we've taken it a step further. Dealing with customers, when you deal with as many as I do, I like putting the work on the customer. And they enjoy it too. It's kind of like Dell computers. If you go to buy a computer, you know, through Dell, you fill out all your paperwork online. You fill out your name, address, credit card numbers, all that stuff. They don't require you talk to somebody. Well, when I sell you a car, like if you purchased an Aston from me, this DB9, right?
Right.
If you purchased it from me, I literally it takes all I need is your email address, and I put a price in, and I hit submit. It emails you automatically. It allows you to fill out a customer information form, assigns you a customer ID in my back end, and allows me to create your paperwork on the fly and email it back to you. The greatest thing about that is it allows me to put the onus on the customer and let them do their own work. Then it comes back to me, and I have all their paperwork, and literally, since we've been talking, I just closed another deal. And it was all done through email, meaning the guy I talked to, he'd already been in here today to look at my car. But he just sent me the email, said, let's do it. I sent him an email back. His paperwork is already in his hands to get to his bank and everything that he needs, including payment information, all that stuff. Since we do the same thing over and over again, let's make our lives a little easier. Now, what I was talking about before is this software has been so great for us. Our future is, well, now we're starting to license it.
Mm.
So now I have become a leader in my space, so to speak, and people love what we do, and so I say that's great. And so now I'm offering on a subscription base my software to other dealers. And yeah, and because we do shipping, we now own a shipping company. My point is, learn your space and figure out all the different ways you can make other revenues. And if you don't like the way somebody's doing a piece of your business, can you do it yourself? No, that's what we're doing.
Huh. And yeah, you mentioned there's a bunch of other listing programs now. Is there one that you'd recommend for people that don't sell cars?
Well, eBay's going to have great listing tools that you can look at on eBay. To be honest, I don't know the other spaces very well. I'm kind of an eBay car guy only.
Yep, okay.
I've bought a lot of things on eBay, but I don't know about it. But I do know I would honestly get into Google, and I would type in listing tools for eBay.
Okay.
And see what comes up.
What
for
kind
instance,
of features do you think are essential?
Well, I think your inventory management is key. I will say eBay has a new tool that allows you to create great ads and build your own website. And I forget the name of it. I can tell you. I think it's called PowerLister. I'll tell you real quick. I started a side company with, believe it or not, a customer of mine who's a big-time fitness company, and it's called GymsDirect.com.
Uh-huh.
Excuse me, .net. I think I know that. But we use...
Scratch that out, .net.
There you go, gymsdirect.net. No, we use eBay just launched something called Pro Stores.
Yeah.
And so far, so good. You know, I'm sure it'll get better as time goes on. But that's an instant way for you to build up your back-end inventory management, deals with shipping, PayPal. The biggest thing for anybody is, especially in business, is managing their money, okay,
mm-hmm.
and making sure your system can communicate all the way through and whether or not you're using QuickBooks or what is it that you're running, you know, and try to find a system that works fluid, you know,
okay.
and trying to build it from scratch is kind of a no-no now. It's just too complicated. You know, like us, we were building it over 4 years, okay? So I don't have another 4 years to wait to start. The reason I say that is because everything integrates from your PayPal deposits to shipping to paperwork systems. It has to also communicate with our QuickBooks back end to tell me how much money we have in each car and all that good stuff. So.
Okay. Yeah, that's definitely important. Walk us through, if you could, you mentioned it a little bit about trying to get these audio testimonials back from customers. What is what goes on once somebody purchases a car from you? Is that the end of the story?
No. I'm first and foremost. Can you hold 1 second?
Sure.
Thank you, Julius. Appreciate it, man. Y'all take care. Okay, we'll just wrap it all up. Thanks, man. Sorry, that's what you got to do in business, right? So somebody comes to your desk. As far as audio testimonials, what happens to me is first and foremost, everybody, I like my customer to feel like they're being communicated with, whether it be by me personally or by email. I because I know that they just bought a big ticket item,
right.
And they need to feel that sense of, even though they can't have the car right now, they want to have a sense of that they still got something right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like back to Dell computers. When you buy your computer, remember they send you a whole update of where it is? Has it been built yet? It's getting ready to go out for shipping. It makes you feel like somebody cares, okay? And I do that throughout the process, all the way down from I have an automatic, all our software does everything to update them on we received your money, to the car's been booked for shipping, here's who's going to be carrying it. There's a process throughout the whole thing. I still, as best I can, try to send out a personal handwritten card, okay, after the sale, especially my customers that have repeat business.
Thank you note.
But
it's a thank you note, Len.
Yeah, thank you note.
Okay.
You know, I think there's still something to be said about a personal touch, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If this person was willing to spend $150,000 with me, I think they owe, you know, a stamp and a nice nice note, okay? So I do that as best I can. But follow up with them. I'm actually getting ready to start a video newsletter for our business. And it's not so much about eCarLink. It's about buying your next car online and all the different things to look for. I've had so many questions, you know, asked of me over the years about what to buy, how to buy, what to watch out for, what is this Carfax deal, what about online financing. It goes on and on and on, that I figure I'm going to give them a quick 5-minute video clip once a month. So all the people that have logged into my website, but these are ways to stay in touch with your customers,
right?
And to constantly be on the, you know, on their minds. You just like anything, when you're going to go buy your next car, you want them to at least think of you first,
right?
And I don't care how great a service you give them, you can lose them, okay? So you got to try to do everything you can to stay in front of them. So sending emails is key, and I'm sure you talk about that all the time. Whether it be newsletter programs or whatever, retain those emails.
What about how are you getting those testimonials? Do you just ask for them at a certain time
point? Well, actually, each car is a little different. So what I do is, in each buyer, when I find a buyer that I think is a little more dynamic than the next, you know, and I like, you know, you just can get a sense of who's a good guy and who would be fun to have an audio feedback from and whoever. So I actually, honestly, I selectively do it.
Okay.
I don't send it to everybody, not because I'm worried about a negative feedback or anything.
Right.
It's just because I want them to fit for each specific card or whatever. If you'll notice on my audio feedbacks, and new ones will be rotating in soon, I had one I chose to talk about a guy who actually had a problem with us.
Okay. Yeah, that was interesting.
And it's interesting, you know, and that was like, why would you choose to do that? Well, let's be honest with ourselves. Nothing's perfect. And try not to make yourself out to be perfect. The most important thing that I would think is the true test of character of an individual or a company is not when everything goes right, it's when it goes wrong. And what will that company do to make it right? I wanted to express that, so I asked a gentleman if he would leave us a feedback, and I think he went above and beyond, but I thought I should include that.
That's very cool. You know, I haven't seen that. I did that on one site. We have a testimonial from someone who asked for a refund and talked about how easy it was and how we actually honored our refund guarantee. So I haven't
Absolutely.
Seen too many people do that.
Yeah.
That's very cool. All right, let's I can't let this wrap up without asking about the PR stuff.
Uh-huh.
You got the Forbes, you got the
Right. And in fact, and I just got, not like it's that big a deal, but I guess there's a big magazine in Dallas called Regarding Dallas Magazine, and I'm in the top 10 social professional for 2006 here in Dallas. You know, the key is be visible, you know. you know, one of the things that I think that leads me to be more believable than, you know, certain car dealers that you don't even know their names,
right,
is because I put myself out there. And it's like I said before, I believe in what I'm selling. You know, that's why one of the biggest Dallas Cowboys was just in my office and whatever. I put myself into the right situations, whether it be go to the right restaurants, go to the right charity events, go to the whatever, you know what I mean? Put yourself in your space. Let people know that you're doing what you're doing and market yourself as best you can. I don't know how I got into the PR thing, but I learned it very fast. Maybe it was my Hollywood upbringing, if you will. I worked for one of the biggest agencies, you know, in the world while I worked out there for a little bit. I worked 3 years there, and I saw how important, you know, positioning yourself, you know, can be. The truth is, the Forbes magazine article, I'll tell you how that happened. Forbes guy, the writer, called me, and he was trying to do research on selling cars on eBay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, eBay gave them my name simply because if I'm going to be on eBay and running a multi-million dollar business on eBay, I'm going to do everything I can to meet everybody over the phone or email at eBay that would
smart,
be
yeah.
in my department, okay?
Right.
And this was back when eBay Motors was still relatively small. Now, all these
right.
guys have retired with all their millions, and now it's a bunch of kids working there. But the truth is, I do everything I can to position myself, because that's the one thing. If you are relying on eBay or relying on something, get involved. You know, find out who your rep could be, and how do you get a personal rep versus just email contacts, okay? So from that standpoint, somebody at eBay said, hey, this guy Len is, and here's the deal. They were going to do an article on eBay.
Mm-hmm.
In the future of the car business on eBay, right? Well, I figured that out pretty quickly, and eBay goes, well, this guy's, maybe you don't think so, but they thought I was well-spoken, so they said, hey, he's a guy doing it right, okay? And we wouldn't mind to have a quote from him or something. So
mm-hmm.
the writer called me, and I know anything. Writers need articles, and they need a slant to their article. I understand this. So I positioned myself as a slant for him to write his article on. I gave him his story.
You gave him the angle.
You got to give him an angle. And nobody's going to do that for you, okay? So with anything, I don't care if you're going to a public relations firm or if you're talking to your advertising department or whoever, you're going to be responsible to creating your own angle.
Interesting.
Okay. And I always go back to that, is know who you are and what your business is and try to position yourself appropriately. What is your value proposition? What makes you better than everybody else? And if you can't decipher that, then you've got a problem, okay? Because if it's not price, if it's not, you know, the product, if it's not you, what is it, okay? And a lot of companies and individuals struggle with that, and you can see it in their lack of success. You know, there's lots of realtors, there's lots of whatever. What is their value prop? It can't just be we're doing it better.
Right.
You know, and that's the other thing I always talk about. When you create your little slogan and everything,
mm-hmm.
say something that make that actually says what you are or what you do.
What's your slogan?
Yeah, well, ours is funny. We were the first online, so we said we're driving the internet.
Okay.
But I'm talking really about slogans that say stuff like, and we haven't really marketed that slogan, by
yeah.
the way. I kind of stayed away from it. The truth is, I know a lot of people out there says, you know, we're such and such car dealers, the best buying experience bar none. What does that mean?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah.
And you need to say what you do, okay, if you're going to have a slogan.
Yeah, words like best really just...
They mean nothing, and
yeah.
they're empty. You
yeah.
know what? And it leaves people empty. I deal now because we're launching new dealers every day on our software system,
mm-hmm.
and that's one of the biggest things now is I'm having to now help them market, helping to build their ads and everything, you know, and I can't tell you how many people come to me with some of the silliest stuff that absolutely makes no sense, and it's not going to help them in the least. I tell people, if you do not have a reason for people to buy from you, then you should just get out of business right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you have nothing to, if you have nothing new to offer, what are you doing?
Yeah,
that's me.
I agree. Another quick question on eBay.
Mm-hmm.
You guys, I mean, you're dealing with cars, so it's maybe this question is a little bit silly, but maybe not. With the listings, have you seen anything that you can do that enhances your listings and helps you get searched on? I mean, is it just the name of the car.
Well,
it's
interesting. You know, I've looked into that as much as I can. Here's the problem with the automotive industry. Just because you want to get search engine optimized on Google and all these other things, think about it this way. When a customer types in BMW 2004 or whatever, there's just too damn many.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's not going to make a whole lot of sense. So for me, it's back to what I originally stated about our marketing. It's car first. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I go with the biggest. It's eBay first,
mm-hmm.
AutoTrader, Cars.com. And our website now, because of all our marketing and things that we do, is reverse. I mean, it's each car is driving almost 3,000 on eBay. 3,000 people see my car.
For
which
each,
is a,
each
for each
car.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Now, the crazier the car, the more people view. But and they're not all buyers, of course.
Sure.
But I'm just saying, but you're still getting that name out,
they
that marketing.
They just want to see, for, like, if they've never seen a Lamborghini,
oh,
Murcielago.
Well, yeah, but bang for the buck to get your name out there.
Mm-hmm.
My God, you put it on eBay. I got 3,000 people actually physically that have the ability to look at my name and go to my website.
Would you give advice on other listings when it's not so specific? I mean, is that the best is that the best idea for people? Is it just very don't
well, here's the deal. I
the
can't.
Listing.
Well, see, for me personally, and this is what I get calls from, you know, radio people and stuff all the time that want me to advertise with them, and I say it doesn't work. I'm going to tell you why. I knew it wouldn't work, but I did it once. I advertised all of my inventory, not all of it, but some of the hot inventory in, like, the DuPont registry. Okay?
Yeah, yeah.
And
I've heard that before.
It failed miserably for me because by the time I got to print, all those cars were sold.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem with what I sell, now this is where you have to figure it out for yourself, okay? If you're selling a product that you can replicate many times,
mm-hmm.
then you need to start looking at Google Key AdWords and all these other sources out there,
okay?
But if you're selling, I only have one 2005 Aston Martin DB9.
Right.
Why am I going to spend my time focused advertising that all over the place? Because it only takes one buyer.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to get that buyer through the main car publications. So with that said, for me it makes no sense because I really don't want you calling me. I know that sounds crazy, but I don't want you calling me saying, well, can you get me another 05 DB9? My structure here, now again, everybody's different. My structure here is we have no time to devote to car searching. It's all I can do to sell what I have.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want leads. I know that sounds weird, but I don't want open-ended leads saying, find me a car, because the truth is it never works in the car business. I can give you as many percentages as you want. I get customers call me all the time that, you know, I sell a car and they say, well, put me on the list. If anything happens, I'll buy it. Well, I call them right back and, oh, you can have the car. I don't know yet.
Right.
And I was like, come on. What are you doing? So the point is I don't want to get into all that. Hey, I really wanted that Aston Martin. Well, that's great. I've got one for you. Well, I'm not ready right now. So I don't get into that business. I just focus completely, you know, on what I have. So for me, advertising all over the place seemed, branding my general company or website name seemed kind of like, you know, not good. It didn't make any sense.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense for exactly what you do. Last two things, and then we'll take some Q&A if that's all right.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about your feedback management, because you kept a 99.7%.
Yeah, and I'm going to say that about eBay, and people need to understand that eBay is incredibly, incredibly difficult. Most people don't realize that you right now could buy a car, hit buy it now on one of my cars,
mm-hmm.
not call me for 4 days,
mm-hmm.
and leave me a negative feedback, and never have even completed the sale. So with that said, it is very difficult because I don't even have to complete a sale. You could just say, hey, I heard his voice and didn't like it.
Yeah.
And just say, I don't want to buy the car and leave me a negative feedback. Now, we have maintained an excellent rating, and I do my best. I think the best thing you can ever do, and this goes back to communication with your client, manage expectations.
Mm-hmm.
Manage, manage, manage. I mean, when you're going to ship a car, do not tell them they're going to get their car in 2-3 days.
Mm-hmm.
You need to explain to them how long shipping takes. If you can manage the expectations from the get-go, usually you don't have a problem. Now, I think we have one negative feedback, and that was a perfect case in point. That was almost a basically a extortion. Guy wanted us to pay him a certain amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
We felt that it was not appropriate. And eBay was not on my side. So, and that's the guy knew the rules of eBay, and so he left me a negative feedback. Be careful on eBay, too, because feedback can never be removed. You can agree to delist it, but they still keep the feedback up there nowadays.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they quote-unquote call gray it out. There's a huge debate going on. It's been doing that for a year or 2 years now. There's a huge debate right now that if we both come to an agreement, let's say you bought an Aston from me and
right.
you got the car and a wheel was damaged and,
right.
And you left me negative because you were a hot-headed, right? And I said, well, I'll pay for it.
Right.
In the old days, we could remove that feedback through a mutual square trade type procedure. Nowadays, we can't. You can remove it, and it won't count against me, but it'll still be there. If you look at my feedback, you'll see a neutral. A guy, and then he withdrew it. Neutral means it's neither bad nor good. Okay, guy was confused about something related to a car being a long story, but he was confused. I called him, and he goes, oh, I'm sorry. I'll remove it. Well, that's great that he removed it, but it's still there. Okay, it doesn't count for or against me. But it's still there. So if somebody leaves you a feedback that says, this guy's a jerk, blah, 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 it'll still be on there. So you really need to stay on top of your customers. I think what you're going to see more with my business, though, too, is I'm doing less and less deals completing on eBay.
Mm-hmm.
eBay has become my lead source.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people just aren't comfortable buying on eBay big dollar items. So a lot of them call me and want to do it offline.
Right.
So
right.
that's why you're seeing our feedbacks not going through the roof anymore. It's hilarious. I can hardly get anybody to hit buy it now anymore. So, and when they do, the funny thing is I think the statistics show that the average car buyer on eBay is not an avid eBay user. It's weird. They're usually, and when they do buy a car on eBay, they don't consider it an eBay purchase. It, as weird as that sounds, they bought it on eBay, but they still consider it a car purchase because we're still doing paperwork and all that stuff, and so they don't care enough to go leave us feedback.
Right.
It's weird. But as I say, no feedback's better than bad feedback, so, you know.
So, but it's definitely something people need to be aware of.
You need to be aware of, and you need to manage your business for it, because I think feedback is an absolute critical thing to the success of your business.
And people will pay attention to it when they're bidding.
Oh, my gosh, one negative. I mean, when I got that negative, I spent a week trying to have to explain it to people, you know, and that kills valuable time. Now, the truth is there's no way that I'm going to ever be able to keep from getting another negative. I mean, let's be honest, nobody's perfect, and I can't. Some people are unreasonable,
right.
okay?
Right.
And that's why I think if you can explain to people up front how important feedback is to you, that they will slow down, okay, before they go and leave you a nasty mark.
Okay, yeah, that's definitely good advice. Do you like taking a couple questions?
Sure.
Okay. Stephanie, are you available?
Yes, I am. At this time, if you have a question, please press the number 1 on your touch-tone phone. Please press the number 1 only once. If you press more than once, you will be removed from the queue. Questions will be answered in the order in which they were received. One moment, please, gentlemen.
While we're queuing up for questions here, just want to thank you once again, Len, for taking the time out to do this.
Sure. Absolutely.
I know.
Well, I've always said, you know, even when I started out, I mean, there's been plenty of people that have helped me to understand things and have made me who I am. So I am more than happy to share anything I know, you know.
Yeah, well, hopefully, if it works out, maybe we'll get you back to D.C. for the next underground.
Yeah, hopefully I won't be getting married at that time. So.
Yeah.
Excuse me, gentlemen. At this time, we have no questions.
Okay, no questions. All right, guys, if this is your last opportunity to ask Len a question because he's not doing another call for us, so if there is a question, ask it now. Anyone, Stephanie?
At this time, I show no questions, sir.
Okay. All right, let me ask my last question then, Len.
Mm-hmm.
If you were starting all over again, what would you do differently?
Oh, gosh.
It always kind of makes me chuckle when I ask it because I hate being asked it.
That's a tough one. The funny thing is, I know this is a cop out answer, but I every pitfall that I've had has been worth it. I mean, if anything, when I started out, I would I jumped into the business not knowing everything, and I thought I did.
Mm-hmm.
I think I if anything, I went too far too fast. And that is a good and bad thing.
Before infrastructure was ready.
Well, before infrastructure and everything.
Uh-huh.
In the car business, for instance, there's all kinds, and luckily I didn't really get into trouble, but I'm saying all the way down to rules and regulations for being, you know, you have to have your licenses in order and all these things, right?
Mm-hmm.
And just understanding my business, I was very green when I started, okay? And I was trying to bite off a major car dealership and being an internet dealership. and it was a lot to deal with. I think I would have started off a little bit slower because I made some mistakes, and I made some mistakes that cost money. Trying to buy too many cars and paying too much and traveling all over the country to buy cars and things. But I can honestly say every day that goes by, and that's the greatest thing about what I do every day, is everything I do, I learn every day. And customers teach me. Cars come out. I mean, there's new cars every day coming out, you know.
Right.
So there's always something to learn. I don't know. I would have slowed down a little bit and not tried to bite off more than I could chew.
Mm-hmm.
I caught myself working 7 days a week, which is what most, you know, young business owners will do when they start, you know, a business fresh. But
right.
I got burned out really fast, and I had to pull it back and remember why I did this in the first place.
How did you handle that? Did you bring on more employees?
Yeah, I did. I learned how to not have to do everything. And that's a hard thing for people in their own business to do.
Yeah, it's a really important lesson. How,
you know, is it's okay. You can't be everything. You can't be everywhere. And you can't help everybody, okay? And you're only, you know, and some people, let's face it, and that's the other thing, too, is you'll learn this in the internet world. People are real big over email.
Right.
They will be rude and say things that you would be amazed.
Oh, yeah.
And you've done nothing to them, and you don't even know them.
Right.
You've got to learn to have thick skin, calm down, try not to get too upset, because people will pick on you and tell you your stuff's overpriced and you're an idiot, and you forgot to say it had heated seats and what a moron you must be. I mean, you have no idea the things that I've gotten in email. I could probably publish a book, you know, about all these terrible things people have said to me.
I've got a small idea. We get a lot.
You
of
get it all.
Right?
So what I say is you know, from that perspective, just it's overwhelming. And when you're putting yourself out there, I mean, let's be honest. I've put myself out there, as my wife says to me. Goes, I'm one of the only guys anybody knows that has their cell phone published to the world.
Yeah, and it is your true cell phone.
And that is my cell phone. And from that standpoint, you got to learn when to shut it off too. Okay, you just can't do it all, and I've made myself sick many times trying to be available on Sunday nights and all sorts of stuff, and you just can't do it. So I think if anything, I would say do it all, but pace yourself. Luckily, I pushed through it and hired a good staff. Okay, but pace yourself. That's the only thing I can say.
Yeah, good advice. Where can we direct people that are interested in cars and that do want to buy something?
Well, of course, you direct them to my website.
ecarlink.com?
ecarlink.com, the absolute best website in the country for cars. But if I don't have what you're looking for, I think your best bet is to always the top three. Go to eBay. What I love about eBay is you can pretty much guarantee yourself that the car that you're looking at is still available. The reason I say that is it costs so much to put a car on eBay, and it's a legally binding contract on eBay when you buy a car, that no dealer's going to leave it up there, while some dealers will leave their cars even after they've sold on AutoTrader to get phone leads.
Interesting.
So know that if you're calling cars on AutoTrader, they're not always available.
Okay.
So
yeah, so definitely eCarLink.
And our car, and on our website, and good dealers, our websites update you all the time, whether it's sale pending or sold, or whether it's available. And of course, if you don't see what you're looking for, we have a button right next to our inventory called Vehicle Finder, and that's where you put a quick little deal that lets you know, that says, hey, let me know, and we'll send you an email the second we get that car.
Excellent.
Or always call me. I'm available.
Very good. Yeah, so if anyone grabs a car from this recording, let them know Yannick sent you, and Len will throw in a free bottle of champagne, he told me.
There you go. Thanks, Yannick.
Hey, Len, appreciate it. Thank you very much for the time and continued success. You guys are doing awesome over there. Thanks
again
for the time.
And we'll see you soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.